सब्र का मरहला, बात सारी सकीना ने शह की सुनी और जवाबन वो बस इतना कहती रही, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना। बोले शबीर ऐ मेरी नूरे नजर, तुमको करना है अब शाम तक का सफर, तुमको कैदी बनाएंगे अब अहले शर। बोली शहजादी मुझको नहीं कोई डर, तुम कहो तुम सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना। शाह कहने लगे ऐ मेरी लाडली, तुम पे आएगी अब शाम में गम की घड़ी, आग दामन में होगी तुम्हारे लगी। बोली वो फिक्र मुझको नहीं है कोई, मेरा दामन बुझाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना। फिर किया शैन बेटी से कुछ यूं सुखन, सब गरम होंगे अब तो असीरे महन, तेरे हाथों में भी अब बंधेगी रसन। बोली सुन के ये बात वो तशना दहन, तुम गले से लगाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने को आओगे ना, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना। मुस्तरिब दिल से कहने लगे शाहदी, तेरी किस्मत में बेटी सुकून अब नहीं, अब तमाचे लगाएगा शिमरे लई। सुन के ये बात कहने लगी वो गजी, शिमर से तुम बचाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना, अच्छा बाबा सुलाने तो आओगे ना, रोज चेहरा दिखाने तो आओगे ना। फिर किया शैन बेटी से कुछ यूं सुखन, सब गरम होंगे अब तो असीरे महन, तेरे हाथों में भी अब बंधेगी रसन। बोली ये बात सुन के मुतशना दहन, तुम गले से लगाने तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना अच्छा बाबा सुलाने, तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना। रो के शबीर ने उसके बोसे लिए, बोल रुखसार होंगे भी जख्मी तेरे, तेरे रोने के शहजादी दिन आ गए, बोली तुम कैसे देखोगी रोते हुए, हाँ मुझे चुप कराने तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना अच्छा बाबा सुलाने, तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना। बढ़ती जाती थी बेचैनी शबीर की, हर सितम वो उठाने पे राजी हुई, जिंदा बाबा न होंगे समझ ना सकी, सुन के सब मुश्किलें बस ये कहती रही, घर में रूठी मनाने तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना अच्छा बाबा सुलाने, तो आओगे ना रोज चेहरा दिखाने, तो आओगे ना।
Please, please recite Surah Fatiha for all our Marhameen, especially Shuhada, Awliya Allah, Rahimallahu Man Qara Al-Fatiha. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد إن شاء الله we should be beginning within a few minutes إن شاء الله thank you so much for your patience.
رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله. إن شاء الله before we commence with the majlis, my dear brothers and sisters, I would like to ask for your apology with the background. We've got some issue here, so that's why I've just changed my background and hence the delay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيبي إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله على نبيك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله على ذلك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله على ذلك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في العام وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم For the love of Imam al-Hussein, with the loudest of our voices, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asir wa Zaman, and for the hastening of his reappearance, with the loudest of our voices, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for gracing us with this wonderful moment and wonderful opportunity in this holy month of Muharram. It is a month within which we try our level best to align ourselves with the teachings and the values established and taught by Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam, most especially the values established and taught on the 10th day of Muharram in the holy city of Karbala. We've been having series of discussions with you, my dear youth, my dear brothers and sisters. And I hope and pray every single day you are able to take a lesson or two from our discourses and from our discussions. The verse I've just quoted from the glorious Quran, it is the last two verses from Surah Al-Jum'ah. And to be specific, the last verse, but one. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this verse discusses the importance of work and the importance of career in someone's life. Be it a Muslim or non-Muslim, but here specific discussing the importance of work or importance of having a career in the life of an individual Muslim, a true lover and follower of our beloved Prophet. Our topic of discussion today is no doubt a very important topic, and it is a topic which ought to be discussed not in one sitting, but in many sittings. As when such a topic is discussed, so many questions arises. It is the topic of navigating career path in the light of Islam. Our examination of tonight will be of the following two stages. Kindly pay attention. The first stage, we will discuss the importance of having a career, the importance of having a work or a job in the light of Islam. We will look at its importance from the glorious Quran and the traditions of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And then the second and the last stage of my examination of today is to look at ways and means of navigating one's career in the light of Islam. In other words, what are the practical tips and practical steps that one has to follow to ensure that he or she has a career which is not contradicting the true teachings of Islam and the true teachings of Ahlul Bayt? My dear youth, Islam is a holistic way of life. What does it mean to say Islam is a holistic way of life? It simply means it guides us and it provides us with general guiding principles on how to live our lives. Islam does not leave us in limbo, does not leave us in confusion. Every single step of our lives, you will realize that Islam provides us with how to go about that particular step in our lives. Finding a career or a job or a work, it is not an easy task. It doesn't begin the moment you graduate from university. It begins, yes, before you go to university. It begins at this stage of your lives, when you are youth and you studied at school, be it college or secondary school. That is the moment one has to start thinking of the future he or she want to see himself happen. You remember we mentioned, you can only properly build your future when you are youth, when you are energetic. So Islam provided us with general guiding principles in different spheres and angles of our lives. be it jurisprudential, social, political, financial, economical, Islam makes it very clear through the teachings of Quran. Ma farratna fil kitab min shay. We've not left anything unattended in this book. So let's look at Quran and ask Quran, or our beloved Quran. We want to identify a career path in our lives. What are the importance of navigating or having a career in our lives? The first verse is the verse I quoted earlier on in Surah Al-Jum'ah or chapter Jum'ah. Allah says, فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When you are done with Namaz Jum'ah, you finish praying, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Spread on earth. Meaning go out and work. Go and find a career. Go and seek employment. Go and look for your sustenance in life. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. انتشار دار زمين. Islam is not only about salat. Islam is not only about fasting. Islam is not only about going for Hajj. Finding or navigating career path in Islam is part of our ibadah. It's part of worship. So Quran says, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. When you go out, seek from the fazl of Allah. What is fazl here? Simply means rizq, money. What will keep your life going? What will sustain you? What will make you happy so that you are able to stand there and worship Allah and demonstrate your love for Ahlul Bayt? So my dear youth, on the first level, Quran is telling us we should go out and look for jobs. If you are an employer, then excellent. But if you are not an employer, you need to be an employee. You need to find a career. From now, start thinking about it. Because in future, you are going to be fathers. You are going to be mothers. You are going to be leaders of the community. You are going to be organizing programs like this for the youth. So it's important you start reflecting and thinking about your career. Because Quran is saying it. It is Islamic to think about your future career. It is as per the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam. The next verse in chapter Mulk, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also says it, kindly pay attention. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. He said, he is the one who made this earth, this zameen you see, for you as a source of sustenance, as a source of career, as a source of work. Then Allah said, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا. Walk on this earth. Go to different parts of this earth. To do what? وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزَكِ. So that you are able to eat from the rizq of Allah, from the barakat of Allah. Some of you will come to the UK for your university studies. It means you have traveled or you are traveling to this place for the rizq of Allah. Some of you will go to certain country. Some of you will remain in Pakistan and go to university. Allah says, وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزَكَ. Eat from the rizq of Allah. But this rizq doesn't just come to you anyhow. You have to work for it. You have to plan for it. You have to seek it. You have to ask for it. And the work for it is your education. It's your studies. It will determine your career in future. Very, very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Again, last verse, you look at Quran. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشَا. He said, we made the day to be your source of ma'ishat, your source of sustenance. Meaning during the day, go out there and pursue careers. Go out there and work. Go out there and look for the rizq of Allah. You cannot fold your arms. Today, your fathers, your parents, they are out there looking for the rizq of Allah. They have their own careers for you to succeed, for you to benefit. It is also time now for you to start thinking as a young adult, as a Muslim youth, as a lover and follower of Ahlul Bayt, what career am I going to pursue in my life? Because you know what? Imam Ja'far Sadiq, alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Imam said, our Shias, no, you are all Shia, isn't it? Our Shias, they are those, when they do things, they do it with perfection. So you as a Shia, when you undertake a career, you undertake a career and do it with your heart and do it well. Now let's go to the traditions of Ahlul Bayt on the importance of having a career. The first tradition is from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Where the Holy Prophet said, look at this tradition, beautiful. He said, when a person eats from his sweats, is more barakat and has more khair than you are eating from someone's sweat. What does it mean? Let me break it for you to understand properly. When you find your own career and you start working and earning income, and your life is dependent on your income, is so better for you and so dear to Allah, that you finish your studies, you don't look for career, you are very lazy, you only depend on some people to give you something to eat. So Prophet is inviting us and encouraging us to look for a career when we are ready for that, so that we depend on our sweat. Because when you work, you sweat. A lot of energies go into work. A lot of energy go into looking for a suitable career. Prophet said, when you depend on your careers for your livelihood, it's so dear to Allah than anything that you can think of, most especially when you depend on others. And that is why, again, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi mentioned on the importance of career. He said, يَدُلْ عُلِيَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ يَدِ السُّفْلَى. He said, upper hand is better than the lower hand. So this is lower hand. This is upper hand. What does it mean? Always he gives, but this one always receives. If your hand is always receive and your hand doesn't give, Prophet said, the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. In future, don't be on the receiving end, my dear youth. We are discussing this to encourage you to start thinking about your future. In future, seek and plan to be on the giving end or giving end. And you can only be able to be on the giving end when you have a suitable and good career. And remember, I repeat, your suitable career begins from now. It doesn't begin tomorrow. It doesn't begin, I repeat, when you are at uni and completing your university studies. It begins now because you are a young adult. You've got the energy to start thinking about it, which is very, very important. And again, the There was one youth, like the age of some of you, during the time of the Holy Prophet in Medina. And the youth was working very hard in his career, farming, and he was trying his level best. Some of the companions of the Holy Prophet saw this youth every morning. He would go out and look for his career. Somebody would give him peace job in their farm and he'd clean. Someone else would give him. That was what he was doing. So companions, some of them would be laughing at that young boy who was trying to get some money for his livelihood. So Prophet heard them laughing. And he asked them, why are you laughing at this boy who is trying to get the rizq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Then Prophet said, what he is doing is one of the big jihad. It's one of the struggles in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So looking for a career is an ibadah. You cannot say, no, I'm just going to pray, and I don't look for career. I'm going to fast, I don't look for career. It is a package. And as I said, Islam is a holistic way of life. You have to look at social aspect. You have to look at intellectual aspect. You have to look at physical, material aspect. You have to look at the spiritual aspect. So navigating career path within the religion of Islam is a form of worship. It's a form of ibadat. And the moment you begin navigating your way towards identifying a suitable career, from that moment, Allah will start giving you reward, because you are going to get this career to be able to sustain yourselves, your families, your communities, and prepare for the reappearance of our beloved Imam. When our Imam comes, he needs so many people. He will need people of knowledge. He will need engineers. He will need computer scientists. He will need traders. He will need business people. He will need plumbers. He will need carpenters. He will need farmers. It is a holistic way of doing this. It's not only about Maulanas. It's all together. Maulana plays part. Engineer plays his part. Computer scientist plays part. You know, contractor, civil engineer, mechanical engineer, medical doctors, nurses, they all play their part. So all these lawful careers are of great importance within the religion of Islam for our youth to be ambitious, but in a reasonable way in pursuing those careers. Now again, we have a very beautiful tradition from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam on the importance of having a career or navigating one's path towards having the best of all careers. Imam says, even if a day or two remains for the entire world to come to an end, and you have an opportunity to pursue a career, you must pursue that career. How beautiful this tradition is. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, I repeat, when you have an opportunity, say, this world, only one day or 2 days remain for it to come to an end. But then you have an opportunity to pursue a career. Imam says, pursue that career and make the best out of that 1 day or 2 days remaining for this entire world to come to an end. Now look at the lives of some of the prophets of Allah who had their own careers in addition to the work of propagating the mission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of them is Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa had a career. His career was what? Rearing animals, animal farming. And not only Musa alayhi salam, our own beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Prophet In addition to rearing animals, our prophet was a businessman. Excellent businessman. He traded with the wealth of Bibi Khadija. Prophet worked. And when he took the money of Bibi Khadija and they went to Sham for investment, he came with a lot of profit to Bibi Khadija. And Bibi Khadija never made profits with anyone than the profits she made with our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is to inspire you, my dear youth, to start thinking seriously on navigating career path. But we have to do so in the light of Islam and in the light of the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, one narration mentioned, he also had a career in Israel. And that is why when you read the history of Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise, he advised his son with so many advices. One of the advices he gave his son was about career. Was about finding something for his livelihood. And Luqman says, and I quote, whoever works, his mind broadens. When you work, the mind works. Your akal, your brain function. You always think. And you are fast in thinking. So Luqman said to his son, career or working broadens somebody's mind. And number two, he said to him, anyone who does not work may suppress his or her intellect in a way of not thinking. Likewise, Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, he worked. And at the same time, Prophet of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And so therefore, career is important. It is necessary in the life of an individual Muslim, in the life of the lover and follower of Ahlul Bayt. Now let's go to the second stage of my examination. Practical tips on how to navigate career paths within the religion of Islam. I must say at this point that Islam expects us to go into different fields. Don't focus your energy, all of you, into one field. If we are to build a very powerful community, community of the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt, then we need varieties of professionals. We don't need only maulanas, mullahs like me, who go to Hausa and studies. We don't need only maulanas. We need maulanas. We must be there to guide people towards Allah, and to guide people towards Ahlul Bayt, and to guide people towards Quran, and to educate them on how to go about their lives. But that's not the only requirement of building a strong and healthy society. We need a lot of engineers. You have to make us proud, our youth. We need mechanical engineers, and we need civil engineers and other fields of engineering. We need it because that's the only way we can empower ourselves and empower our communities. We need medical doctors, general practitioners, and specialists. You are the future. And you can do it. Because you've got the potentials to be productive and creative. We need doctors in our own communities. If we are to build the grounds for the reappearance of Abba Salih al-Mahdi. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. We need IT specialists, computer gurus. We need them. We need people to venture into emotional intelligence. Because that is the language of today. That is what controls and administers and manages the world. We need some of you to think about these kinds. You are still young and fresh. Males and females, boys and girls. We need to start thinking about this now that we are at schools. And if even you are an elderly person, you still have some potentials in you, never give up. And it is never too late. It's all about sincere intention, determination, and wanting to do it. We need nurses in our communities. We need a lot of them because they can help when women are going to deliver children. We need a lot of nurses. We need people to specialize in that. It's an excellent career without an iota of doubt. Gynecologists. We need a lot of them. That's how we can build self-sustained community. Coronavirus has taught us a lesson, and it's a very bitter lesson, that we need to be self-sufficient. We need to be able to sustain ourselves. In going forward, we need to think of our careers on how we are going to do it, so that in future, when the world is examined with another sickness, with another virus, we have a lot of people within our communities with these careers to help us navigate through the challenges. We need businessmen in our communities. Trading, business is crucial. Import and exports is of great importance. Need people like that. I'm mentioning this, I know you know them, to tell you that in Islam, we are given the opportunities and the choices by Islam. So long as it is within the confinement of the religion of Islam, so long as one does not involve into unlawful trade, then it is acceptable and there's nothing wrong with that. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, my dear youth, my dear friends, I repeat, you are the future. And so your careers are very, very important. And Islam and Ahlul Bayt are particular about the careers that the youth wings of the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt will pursue. Because that will tell if the future will be bright or not. What you are going to pursue as careers will determine our future as lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt. And there are so many examples of careers. We need builders. We need contractors. We need electricians. We need plumbers. Name them, there are so many. Now let's look at the practical tips on how to go about it, which I think is very, very important. And by the way, your fathers have done very well. Your mothers have done very well. You have to take it to the next level. You have to take it to the next level. Because your parent will eventually retire and you have to hold the family and keep taking care of the family. So if you don't have an excellent career, it will be complicated, it will be cumbersome, it will be tedious, it will be difficult. for you to be able to continue. You see, Allah is so merciful. Allah is great. When he created insan, he provided insan with all that insan needs to thrive and succeed in life. Allah provided him. That is why Mawlai Kainat, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali. Atazumu annaka jurmun saghir wa fika tawa al-alam al-akbar. Oh insan, do you think you are a small atom? Atom, you know atom. You study at school. You study science. Do you think you are a small atom when the greatest world is in you? Mama, listen. You as insan, the entire world is in you. You are not like an atom. Meaning what? You've got unbelievable potentials. You've got unbelievable capacity. You know, psychologists mention within a second, the brain of human being receives how many information? 400 million megabytes or bits of information within a second. So that tells the capacity we have. Yes, we are only consciously aware of 2,000 megabytes of information. So I'm just mentioning this to tell you that you've got that capacity. You've got conscious mind, you've got subconscious mind, isn't it? Your conscious mind is what? Aql bayin and aql batin. Conscious mind analyzes information. You reflect with your conscious mind. You think with your conscious mind. But your secret or the secret of your personality is your subconscious mind. Now, how do I navigate career path in the light of Islam? Number one, you must honestly assess yourself. Sit somewhere in the house, or you go to the park, somewhere, sit alone. Assess yourself honestly. Look at your strength and look at your weakness as a young boy, as a young girl. And when assessing yourself, think of your values and your interests. You've got values in your country as Pakistan, you've got your own values. Your family, you've got your own values. And on top of all values, you've got your Islamic Shi'i Ithna Ashari values. So when you assess yourself in trying to navigate career path, remember your values. You are a boy of values. You are a girl of values because you are a lover and a follower of Ahlul Bayt. So you don't just go navigating through without thinking of your values, without thinking of Quran, without thinking of Ahlul Bayt, without thinking of Bibi Fatima, without thinking of Bibi Zainab. The moment you begin navigating through and thinking about your career path, do not forget that you have your values. And those values are important. And you should always remember them throughout the process of navigating career path. That's number one. Number two, ask yourselves difficult questions. For example, what do I want and what do I need? Ask yourself these questions. Don't think you are young. You are not young. Time and tide wait for no man. Time flies. Time moves. So ask yourselves, what do I want? You may be in year 10 at school. You may be in year 11 at school. You may be in year 12 to year 13 at school. You may be first year college, first year university. ask yourselves, what do I want? What do I need? That's the second practical approach. If you don't ask yourselves this question, then you'll not be able to navigate through. And this, you have to do it alone before you even go to someone else who'll get to that point. Number three, make a list of careers that you think you have interest in. Because you are assessing yourself. You know your strength. You know your weakness. So make a list of careers. And when making this list of careers, remember, the careers must be halal careers. Halal. And remember, the money you aspire to get from those careers in future must be a clean money. A clean money. Because you are a Muslim. You are a lover and follower of Ahlul Bayt. You were brought up by your parents with honor and integrity through the values of Ahlul Bayt. So you don't want to lose your values because of dunya. You want to make the best out of dunya, but within the boundaries, within the confinements of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. So when you make your list, make sure you are thinking of something halal and nothing else. And as you make the lists of those careers, just hypothetically or randomly, you can even Google how much money will one get out of this in this year, in that year. Just randomly. Make a list of that. And then you ask yourself the next point. What are the educational requirements for me to get to these careers? Because you cannot just get and start pursuing a career without some sort of education. Even if it's a career which does not need a formal university education, but at least it will need some background information. So you write next to those careers the educational requirements for you to be able to get there. The next point after this is what? You start narrowing your choices. You narrow them. Realize maybe you've got 3 choices. You've got 4 choices. You've got 5 choices. You've got 6 choices. Start narrowing those choices. Very, very important. And narrowing choices can be very, very difficult, my dear brothers and sisters. This is where you will need the help of others. And Quran is very clear. فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those who know if you do not know. So the first people to approach are what? Those who know you better, who know your strengths and they know your weakness. Your friends, so long as they are trustworthy. Your parents, because they know you better or better than any other person. Talk to them. Seek their help. You've got a sheikh or maulana in the community. Go seek his or her advice or mulyani. Seek their advices. Ask them to guide you. Because these are the things you are thinking of pursuing in your future or in the future. And sometimes, if a need be, you have to approach the expert in those fields. Say you want to become a doctor and you have realized these are the requirements, but you are struggling to narrow things properly. Find a medical doctor in the community. Sit with that medical doctor. Seek the advice of that person. Because Quran says, ask those who know if you do not know. Say you want to become a sheikh, a maulana, and you dream it. And you're still struggling with narrowing properly. After talking to your friends, after talking to your parents, go talk to the sheikh. The sheikh will be able to advise you. Say, you know what? For you to become a sheikh, you need this and that and that. It can be difficult. It can be this and that and that. very, very important. And we need to consult. You cannot do it alone. After this consultation, what you need now is planning and focus. You have to plan and you have to focus. You may be 15 years now. You may be 16 years now. You may be 17 years now. You may be 12 years now. You may be 13 years now. You need to start planning and focus. Start early. When you start early, you succeed in life. I give an example of myself. And I'm giving this example because I like all of you and I want to share with you to inspire you. I started giving majlis preaching when I was 14 years. 1-4. By then I was in Africa. 1-4. I started preaching. Because that's what I wanted to pursue in my life. And that's the career I love. And I had elders to advise me within my family and within my community. So when you start earlier, you achieve more. And today, children, alhamdulillah, because we are living in a global village, things are very easy. So you plan and focus. Which university? How am I going to do it? And the moment you enter university or college, that's the time you have to have your short-term goal, medium-term goal, and long-term goal. Depending on the career you are going to pursue. Your short-term goal may be, you know what? I'm now going to focus on my studies. Big time. Medium-term goal could be, you know what? After a year or two, during the holidays or weekends, I will go and find a piece of work. Maybe it's medicine, engineering, or business, and get involved just to get some benefit of training there. And of course, the long-term goal, of course, is to complete your studies successfully and begin your career. What is important, my dear youth, my dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to navigating career path within the religion of Islam, is that remove all distractions on your way. I know you love your phones very well. I know you love your phones. But it can distract you big time. It can make life difficult for you. It can make you less productive. Many people are active, but they are not productive. They can spend time looking into things on internet, but at the end of it all, the times and hours they spend do not benefit them in pursuit of their careers. So any distractions, you have to remove it. Take it away. And then last but not least, we can't do it without God, isn't it? We need Allah. We need Allah. We need Ahlul Bayt. From now, when you make salam, this is what I want to pursue in my life. Ya Allah, help me. Make tawassul through the wasila of shahada maqsoomi for Allah to help you and assist you. But can I tell you something? You have great potentials. The youth of today are powerful. Use your time wisely and start thinking of what we've been discussing. And most especially today's discussion, it will help you to be able to achieve your goals in life. And another way of doing it, which I'm sure maybe sometimes you do it in the community, invite professionals of different careers. Let them come together with you. Could be via Zoom, could be physically. And let them speak. And you ask them questions. So widen your scopes. Don't focus on one particular career. Our community is a diverse community. We have people from different families, people from different houses, and we have varieties of needs. So if we don't have varieties of careers, we will not be able to take care of our needs. And you know, you become honorable, Aziz, when you have your own career in future. You become respectful. Otherwise, without career, you can become a stranger in your own country. You can become a stranger in your own city. You can become a stranger in your own family if you don't have a proper career. So this is the moment to begin building your future career. And you can do it. Be positive about yourself. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam teaches us, be positive. Don't be negative, my dear youth. Don't undermine yourselves. Don't belittle yourselves. Have strong self-esteem, but reasonably so, and be humble. And your aim is what? Whatever I'm going to do in life, it is to put in the service of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, in the service of my imams, in the service of my communities. So when you have this type of a thinking, it will help you in even deciding where you are going to pursue your studies, and even deciding how you are going to pursue your studies. Because as you go through this process, the beauty of your of this process in your life should be the values and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. But I repeat, we need doctors. We need engineers. We need lawyers. We need scholars. We need academics at universities. We need scientists. We need researchers. We need business people. We need different people. We need teachers at schools, at nurseries. We need and need and need. And if you do not step in, who is going to step in? If all of you become engineers, it's not going to be good. If all of you become sheikhs, mulyanis, it's not going to be good. We have to spread our wings because we've got the capabilities and we have the potentials. And the sky is the limit. And if you do it well, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will help you and you will succeed in your lives. I hope I've managed to inspire you to some extent to start thinking seriously about your future and to start thinking seriously on what you want to become and who you want to become in future. It is ibadah, it is Islamic, and you will be doing justice to yourself and justice to your family and justice to your country. You have to be a productive boy, you have to be a productive girl, and it is only through that you can put your hand on your chest and say, I've done my part and I've lived my life according to the teachings of Islam. So career is very, very important. Work hard in your studies and don't give up. Forget about you failed last year, you failed last 2 months. Look at the future and work hard so that you don't fail again. We take our hearts to the holy land of Karbala. And remember some of the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. You know, Imam al-Husayn was a just leader. And as a result of his justice, people from different backgrounds came to join Khaymagah, came to join the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Example, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Zuhair ibn al-Qayyim. Zuhair used to support the third Khalifa. But eventually, when he met Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, he decided to join Abu Abdullah. And he stood alongside Abu Abdullah. Another example is Hur Ibn Yazid al-Rayyahi, Hazrat Hur. Three things made Hur to change his mind on the 10th day of Muharram. The first in Hur, on the 10th day of Muharram, he asked Umar ibn Sa'd, what is going to happen today? And Umar ibn Sa'd said to him, necks are going to be chopped off. Hands are going to fly up. The second thing that changed the mind of Hur was that when Abu Abdullah and his companion dug a trench and they put fire in it, Shimr called out, Hussein is preparing for his fire. That changed the mind of Hur and he became a companion of Abu Abdullah. And the third thing that changed the mind of Hur on the 10th day of Muharram was that enemies denied Abu Abdullah's family water, but they were giving water to their horses, they were giving water to their animals. The next person I would like to talk about is Habib ibn Abu Bakr al-Asadi, Hazrat Habib. Habib was of this more or less the same age like Abu Abdullah ibn Husayn. Habib was childhood friend of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He was a companion of the Holy Prophet and the companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And later when Habib became the companion of Abu Abdullah, when Amir al-Mu'mineen moved to Kufa, Habib ibn Abu Bakr moved with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Habib then remained in Kufa until the coming of Abu Abdullah to Karbala. The first in Kufa to write a letter to Imam al-Husayn to come was Hazrat Habib ibn Abu Bakr al-Asadi. And it was difficult for Habib in Kufa, most especially when Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil and Ani bin Urwa were killed by the enemies. Allahu Akbar. During that time, there was rumor. Enemies were spreading rumor that Abu Abdullah was in Medina under the protection of Yazid. They were spreading lies. All of a sudden, Habib realized Abu Abdullah arrived in Karbala. When they arrived in Karbala, Bibi Zainab saw in the camp of the enemies, many people were going and promising Umar ibn Sa'd to fight Abu Abdullah. Bibi Zainab asked Abu Abdullah, where are the people who are going to be with us? That was the moment Abu Abdullah wrote a letter to Hazrat Habib while Habib was in Kufa. Habib, when he received the letter, he kissed the letter and he cried. And he began his journey from Kufa to Karbala. When he arrived in Karbala, Abu Abdullah greeted Habib and Sayyida Zainab sent his Bibi Fidda to go and say salam to Habib. Allahu Akbar. Now comes on the day of Ashura. Allahu Akbar. You know, Abu Abdullah led salat. While Abu Abdullah was leading salat, an enemy by the name Hassin ibn al-Namir, or Hussein according to Sami ibn al-Namir, called out, Allah will not respond and accept the salat of Hussein. Habib ibn al-Madai stood up and defended Abu Abdullah. He said to him, Hassin, if the salat of the son of Bibi Fatima will not be accepted, will Allah accept your salat? Hassin then attacked Hazrat Habib. Hazrat Habib defended himself. Later on, Abu Abdullah granted Habib permission to go and fight. He went to the battlefield, he fought and fought and fought until the enemies came and surrounded the body of Hazrat Habib ibn Abu Bakr. When they surrounded his body, they began attacking him left and right. All of a sudden, they attacked him on his sword. He fell down, he rose up, he fell down. All of a sudden, they began to hit him with spear. Allahu Akbar. When Habib was about to leave this world, he called out, As-salamu alayka ya Mawlai ya Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah rushed to the body of Habib. By the time he got to the body of Habib, Habib was no more in this world. Abu Abdullah stood by the body of Habib and he called out, Lillahi darruka Habib. I swear by Allah, Habib, you were a great man. You were superior in this world. You used to recite the Quran the whole night. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wasayalamu alladhina zalamu ala Muhammadin ayyamun kalamin yankalibun. Wal aakimatu lil muttaqin. Ma'tabna Hussain, ya Hussain.
زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر تو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر تو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو تنہا ہے لائنوں میں دکھ تر تنہا ہے لائنوں میں دکھ تر دو حوصلہ سلا بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو بابا میں بری بیٹی ہوں تیری سب بدلا لیں گے مجھ سے تیرا بابا میں بری بیٹی ہوں تیری سب بدلا لیں گے مجھ سے تیرا لوگوں کے بدلتے ہیں تیور لوگوں کے بدلتے ہیں تیور تو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو یہ زینب ہے کلثوم ہے یہ آپس میں ستم گر کہتے ہیں یہ زینب ہے کلثوم ہے یہ آپس میں ستم گر کہتے ہیں ہنستے ہیں تماشائی ہم پر ہنستے ہیں تماشائی ہم پر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو ہمت یوں بھراؤ بیٹی کی عابد کو بچا کر کے جائے ہمت یوں بھراؤ بیٹی کی عابد کو بچا کر کے جائے ہر گھر سے برستے ہیں پتھر ہر گھر سے برستے ہیں پتھر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو احساس رضا کا ہوگا مجھے تم ہاتھ میرے سر پر رکھ دو احساس رضا کا ہوگا مجھے تم ہاتھ میرے سر پر رکھ دو مشکل ہے اگر دینا چادر مشکل ہے اگر دینا چادر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو دربار کے اس دروازے پر اماں کو سنبھالا تھا تم نے دربار کے اس دروازے پر اماں کو سنبھالا تھا تم نے دربار کس دروازے پر دربار کس دروازے پر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو تنہا ہے لائنوں میں دکھ تر تنہا ہے لائنوں میں دکھ تر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو زینب نے کہا یہ رو رو کر دو حوصلہ بابا زینب کو اور محمد و آل محمد سلوات
اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد السلام علیک یا ابا عبد اللہ السلام علیک یا رسول اللہ السلام علیک یا امیر المؤمنین السلام علیک یا سید الوصیین السلام